You are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a Year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations, available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 212, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3, from Section number 16, Jesus in the City of Malop. I noticed some men very respectfully closing the well outside of Chytrus, at which the disciples had been baptizing. The crowd that had been present at Jesus' instructions, as well as the newly baptized, were upon the point of separating for their homes. Some were standing around several Jewish travelers that had just arrived. To their questions as to Jesus' whereabouts, they received the answer, "The prophet taught here from early this morning until noon, but now he is gone with his disciples and about seven philosophers of Salamis, just baptized to the great village of Malop. This place was built by the Jews. Therefore, only Jews lived in it. It was situated on a height toward the base of a mountain chain, and commanded a wondrously beautiful view upon all sides, even as far as the sea. It had five streets, all converging toward the center, where hewn out of the rocky foundation was a reservoir, which received its water supply from the conduit of the well near Chytrus. All around the reservoir were beautiful seats under shady trees, and from it stretched a magnificent view over the whole city and the surrounding country, which was teeming with fruit. Malop was surrounded by a double entrenchment, the inner one lower than the outer. A great part of it was hewn out of the rock, and beyond it, looking like little valleys, ran ditches all around the city. On the fresh green sward, covered with lovely flowers, stood rows of the most magnificent fruit trees, under which lay the large yellow fruit and the grass. For everything here was now in full harvest. The people were busy drying the fruit that was to be sent to a distance. They manufactured also cloths, carpets, mats, and out of sapwood, light, shallow cases in which to dry the fruit. On Jesus' arrival, he was met at the gate by the doctors of the synagogue, the schoolchildren, and a crowd of people who had come to welcome him, all adorned as for a feast. The children were singing, playing on musical instruments and carrying palm branches, the little girls going before the boys. Jesus passed through the children, blessing them as he went, and with his followers, about 30 men, was escorted by the doctors into a reception hall where the ceremony of washing the feet was performed. Meanwhile, about 20 invalids, some lame, others dropsical, were brought into the street outside the house. Jesus cured them and directed them to follow him to the well in the heart of the city. Great was the joy of the relatives as, with the lately cured, they made their way to the place designated where Jesus gave them an instruction upon daily bread and gratitude toward God. From here he went to the synagogue and taught upon the petition, "Let thy kingdom come." He spoke of the kingdom of God in us and of its near approach. He explained to his hearers that it was a spiritual, not an earthly kingdom, and told them how it would fare with them that cast it from them. The pagans who had followed Jesus were standing back of the Jews, for the line of separation was more strictly observed here than in pagan cities. The instructions over, Jesus assisted at a dinner given by the doctors, after which they escorted him to the inn, which they had prepared for him and his company. A steward had been appointed to see all things. On the following day, Jesus taught again in the extraordinarily beautiful synagogue where all the people were assembled. He spoke of the sower, of the different kinds of soil, of weeds, and of grain, of mustard seed, which bears fruit so large. He took his similitudes from a shrub that grew in those regions, which, from a very small kernel, shoots forth a stalk thick as one's arm, and almost as high as a man, and which is very useful. Its fruits was large as an acorn, red and black. Its juice, when expressed, was used for dyeing. The baptized pagans were not in the synagogue, but outside on the terraces, listening to Jesus' words. When Jesus was afterward taking dinner with the elders, three blind boys about 10 to 12 years old were led to him by some other children. The former were playing on flutes and another kind of instrument, which they held to the mouth and touched at the same time with the fingers. It was not a fife, and it made a buzzing, humming sound like the Jews' harp. At intervals, also, they sang in a very agreeable manner. Their eyes were open, and it seemed as if a cataract had obscured the sight. Jesus asked them whether they desired to see the light, in order to walk diligently and piously in the paths of righteousness. They answered most joyously, "Lord, and wilt thou help us? Help us, Lord, and we will do whatever thou commandest." Then Jesus said, "Put down your instruments." And he stood them before him, put his thumbs to his mouth, and passed them one after the other from the corner of the eyes to the temple above. Then he took up a dish of fruit from the table, held it before the boys, said, "Do ye see that?" Blessed them, and gave them its contents. They stared around in joyful amazement. They were intoxicated with delight, and at last cast themselves weeping at Jesus' feet. The whole company were deeply touched. Joy and wonder took possession of all. The three boys, full of joy, hurried with their guides out of the hall and through the streets to their parents. The whole city was in excitement. The children returned with their relatives and many others to the forecourt of the hall, singing songs of joy and playing upon their instruments in order thus to express their thanks. Jesus took occasion from this circumstance to give a beautiful instruction on gratitude. He said, "Thanksgiving is a prayer which attracts new favors. So good is the Heavenly Father." After dinner, Jesus walked with the disciples and the pagan philosophers through the beautiful shady meadows around the city, teaching the pagan men and new disciples. The elder disciples were themselves instructing separate groups. That evening, Jesus taught again in the synagogue. Next day, he visited the parents of the blind boys, whom he had cured. They were Jews from Arabia, from the region in which Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, had dwelt. They had a particular name. They traveled around a great deal and had already been baptized near Capernaum. They were journeying through that part of the country at that time and had heard Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. These people, that is, these two families, composed of about 20 persons, including the women and children, were tradesmen and manufacturers who, as among us, the Italians, the Tyrolese, and the inhabitants of the Black Forest, tarry a while, sometimes here, sometimes there, busying themselves in making clocks, mousetraps, figures, and plaster of Paris, which they sold to their neighbors, thus uniting labor and traffic. At this season, they generally visited Malop for a couple of months. Outside the city on the north, they occupied a private inn, in which they had all kinds of tools, weaving apparatuses, etc. Their blind boys had, in their wanderings, to earn something by singing and playing on the flute when occasion offered. Jesus told the parents that they should no longer drag the boys around after them, but that they should remain in Malop and attend school. He indicated to them the persons that would receive and instruct their boys, for he had already arranged all that the day before. The parents promised to do whatever he directed. This concludes our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. So often as we pray the Our Father, we are mindful that we pray, Thy kingdom come. We get a little teaching about that kingdom. He spoke of the kingdom of God in us, and of its near approach. He explained to his hearers that it was a spiritual, not an earthly kingdom. We know it's the eternal kingdom. It's the kingdom of heaven. Thy kingdom come. We pray for the kingdom of heaven to come here to us on earth. As Jesus was speaking with some individuals in our reading today, says that Jesus asked them whether they desired to see the light in order to walk diligently and piously in the paths of righteousness. If the Lord God was to ask you, do you want to walk in the light? Do you want to see the light? I think our answer should automatically be yes. If Jesus asks, do you want what I can do for you? Who would say no to that? This could be one of those rhetorical questions of the Lord. Or maybe he wants them to express their desire for him, to follow his ways, to walk in his steps. The Lord asks us, do you want to see my light? Do you want to walk diligently in my ways? Please say yes. A final point for our consideration today. Jesus took occasion from this circumstance to give a beautiful instruction on gratitude, and Catherine Emmerich writes. He said, Thanksgiving is a prayer which attracts new favors. So good is the Heavenly Father. A great reminder to us of the power of the prayer of thanksgiving. We're reminded, of course, of those lepers who, one of the 10, came back to thank the Lord. Thanksgiving attracts new favors. If we express our thanks to God, it seems then that as we continue to pray and petition, we will receive new favors from him. Cultivate a grateful heart today and every day. Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others. Share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.